Greetings, friends and new listeners. Welcome to the Archie Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Today's teaching by my father, Brother Hardy, is exciting and informative, so make sure you get each episode of this outstanding exposition on the gifts of the Spirit.
All right, then we have next the gift of prophecy. And prophecy is a lot of times gets confused with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we're going to differentiate between the two. Prophecy is inspired speech, which means that it's nothing premeditated. It is spontaneous, spirit-inspired, intelligent messages orally delivered in the general assembly intended for the edification, exhortation, and encouragement of the people of God, the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3 said, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." Prophecy is the greatest gift of the utterance gifts, and to Paul, prophecy is the greatest gift of all. And the reason why it's the greatest gift of all, because it has the ability to build up the church, to encourage the church, and comfort the church. In the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul said, "For as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the what? Edifying of the body of Christ." The gift, the New Testament gift of prophecy, mainly operates in the church service to edify and comfort and lift up the church of God. How many say amen? This gift of prophecy has to be judged to the source, where the message is coming from, and the content by what is said. Therefore, its partner gift, discerning of spirits, works in conjunction with prophecy. Discerning of spirits. This is the pair with prophecy. It works in conjunction with prophecy. It's a test of prophetic utterances, and it's a control against its abuse. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the 29th verse said, "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge." I want you to keep this word two or three in your mind. File it, because I'll bring it up later. It's a very important part. How many say amen? In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, a lot of theologians and commentators believe that God is limiting the gifts of prophecy and tongues and interpretation. When he's not limiting it, he is regulating them. Because the Corinthian church, the whole church was just coming in, everybody speaking in tongues at once. And Paul said, the unbeliever and the unlearned are saying, "You're mad, huh? You're out of your mind." How many say amen? And if all the church would come together and we'd all speak in tongues, and that's all we did, and go out, we didn't do anything but edify ourselves. How many say amen? So, the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, God's going to regulate the gifts, and I'll be getting into it a little further on. He said, "Let." Remember I told you, whenever a sentence starts with "let," what is it 99% of the time? A command. He's not limiting. He's telling, "Let two or three prophets speak." How many say amen? He's commanding two or three prophets to speak. And I want you to hold on to two or three in your mind. How many say amen? So discerning of spirits is the watchman of the group. It's to distinguish amongst the three sources of operation. How many knows there's three types of spirit in the world operating? When we come into service, there's three types of spirits trying to operate and get your attention, trying to get you to all think they're God. One is the spirit of God, which is the real spirit. The second one is demons, imitating spirits. 1 John 4:1 said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Notice the word I'm hitting you with again and emphasizing what? Spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You see, the prophet is speaking by a spirit. And there are many prophets got false spirits prophesying. Am I getting through to you? Hereby we know the spirit of God. Now here's one way to judge to see if the prophecy is a demon spirit or God's spirit. The third spirit's man's spirit. You can easily tell whether it's man's spirit or a demon or the Holy Ghost. Very easy. It won't be anointed. It'll be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If it's anointed, which means it's energized by a power, it has to be either God or the Holy Ghost or a demon. Either the Holy Ghost or a demon. A false spirit. How many say amen? And the way that we can tell whether it's a false spirit without the gift of discerning of spirits is by doctrine. And remember in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the second verse, when we said that anyone speaking by spirit, if he says Jesus is anathema, is what? Has to be a false spirit. And only under anointing can someone say, Lord Jesus, because if he's under anointing, a demon will not say, Lord Jesus. Someone that's not anointed can say, Lord Jesus, but he's not speaking by the Spirit. All right, by doctrine. It said, many false prophets have gone out in the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not God. But this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we can tell the false spirit. John's big problem was what? Gnostic. Didn't believe Jesus had a, Christ wasn't human and had total humanity and flesh. Remember I brought it out in the beginning? They were denying that Jesus had a human nature. That's the Antichrist spirit. And if they will not hear the word of God, then they are the spirit of error, not of the spirit of truth. And then the gift of discerning of spirits. Because some are little wise little demons. I'll show you one. The spirit of Pythian. Remember that little woman that was a fortune teller and sorcery? That spirit of Pythian in the Greek, it's Pythian, it means, to bring oracles, to prophesy. Remember the Greek world was full of oracles, full of prophets, full of supernatural or spiritual utterances. It wasn't nothing new. And they got to the place that they were accepting every utterance as God from their Gentile background. And Paul had to tell them, no, you got to judge the utterance. If they deny that Jesus is Christ, and say that he's just a natural man and the eon was Christ, if they deny that he didn't have a human body and a total human nature, that's not the spirit of God. That's an antichrist. That's a false spirit. How many say amen? So this demon that was using this girl to bring utterances, how many say amen? We're trying to get the people to think she was of the true spirit by saying a little bit of truth. See, the devil will use a whole lot of truth and then stick the little lie in. See, you might have a good plate of food, but that little bit of arsenic's going to kill you. And anybody that goes fishing puts bait on the hook. Somebody said, maybe that's why I ain't getting no fish. I mean, if you got the hook out there, I'm done that fish isn't dumb. You got to put some bait on it. And the devil will bait you with a lot of truths. How many say amen? See, half the truth is a whole lie. Half of a truth is a whole lie. You're to speak the truth, nothing but the truth, and all of the truth. If you don't speak all of the truth, then you're not speaking the whole truth. So you got a little lie in there. And she went on trying to get the people's attention. I've been telling you I'm a prophet, and I'm telling you now, here, these are men of God going to show you the way of salvation. And Paul said, I had enough of this stuff, and turned around and said, devil, come out of her. Huh? And out he came, and she couldn't prophesy no more because the spirit was gone. How many say amen? Is that all right? Jesus said in the Gospels, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. It's another way you tell anyone manifesting a gift, whether they're bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Any spirit that's calling attention to their self or lifting up another man is not the Holy Ghost. Can I say that again? Every spirit that's lifting up the person that's talking or some other human is not the Spirit of God. Jesus said when the Holy Ghost comes, he will not speak of himself. Now, if he's not going to speak of himself, he sure ain't going to speak of no man. But he shall glorify me. The Holy Ghost glorifies Jesus. And anybody up here supposed to be under the anointing say, I, me, I, me, I, me. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's I, me. How many say amen? How many hears me? But the gift of discerning of spirits, which means it's different ways, and I've been bringing out different ways that you discern. But when the gift of discerning of spirit operates, that gift comes up and looks out of your eyes. That gift spirit. I've had that gift spirit come up out of me, look out of my eyes, and look into the person and let me see the actual spirit that's in them operating. I could see the demon spirit. He lies here, and when he wants to come up, he comes on up and takes the face. And God has let me see the very demon spirit. The gift of spirit of discerning comes up. He looks out of my eyes. I look out of his eyes, looking out of my eyes, and I see that demon spirit. And the Lord lets me see it by its characteristics, whether it's a lion or some other animal. And then by me seeing that spirit in that animal form, I know the characteristics and how strong it is. How many say amen? How many hears me? But when that gift comes on you, huh? You begin to see right in the spirit world, God pulls the curtain back and he'll let you see the very spirits operating. You can tell by doctrine. You can tell by their fruits. But when the gift of spirit comes in, huh? He looks right at you and you see the spirit operating, whether it's man's spirit. How many say amen? You see, I can look out when that anointing gets on me, and I can look out in the congregation and I can see whether you have a fearful spirit. So can a demon look out and see it. And when he detects you have a spirit of fear, then he sees an open door to jump on you. How many hears me? Or I've seen them so proud, I could see the spirit in them. You know, stuff. You better look out because you're supposed to look on your feet for it's the word is a light into your lamp, a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. How many say amen? You can see that old proud spirit. Then you can see the lustful spirit. I can actually see the spirit watered in their mouth. And after the gift of discerning of spirits works any length of time, you don't have to see the spirit. You can look at the person and see the characteristics of the spirit before he manifests. How many say amen? Hallelujah. The final two of the gifts, the two that involve tongue, and tongue means language. Divers kinds of tongues. I want you to notice and file this in your head. It's in plurals. Means species of languages and interpretation of tongues. Divers kinds of tongues. You do not get one tongue. You do not get one language in this gift. You get divers languages. How many understands this point? You don't get one tongue. And I kept telling you, remember, let the prophet speak two or three. How many say amen? And you're going to find out that when you speak in tongues, you're supposed to speak in two or three tongues. That is why you get divers tongues and not one tongue. Divers, different, species of languages. And we're going to find out why in this most misunderstood gift of all, and one of the ones that's most hated by the devil. I believe he fights tongues more than anything of the supernaturals that God has. One reason, it's a sign of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus is still in the tomb, which means he hasn't risen, and if he hasn't risen, then he hasn't received the promise of the Father and poured out the Holy Ghost. If he has risen from the dead and not in the tomb and poured out the promise of the Holy Ghost like on the day of Pentecost, then every time you speak in tongues, you're saying, he is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. Bad singing, good revelation. Every time you speak in tongues, you're saying he's risen, he's not in the tomb. All right. The gift is in the plural, in both words. This means a person receives not one tongue or language, but a plurality of tongues. This is a very important point, for God always witnesses his word in two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1 said, this is the third time I've come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. God witnesses his message in two or three. That's why we got Genesis. That's why we got Exodus, and we got Deuteronomy. I mean, notice what Deuteronomy means. Deuteronomy, do is two, and onomy is law, the second witness. That's why we got three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are telling the same thing. How many say amen? John's telling you about the deity of Jesus. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are giving you the same miracles, the same messages, the same parables and such, because in the mouths of three witnesses. How many say amen? Is that all right? Now we're going to go into the usage of the tongue. Tongue is used as a sign. The Holy Spirit used the gift of tongue as a sign to the hearer on the day of Pentecost. This was to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah as quoted in 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 2. It is written in the law, and I think it's Ezekiel 28:11, with men of other tongues and their lips will I speak to this people, yet for all this will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but for them that believe. Tongues are for a sign. And in the church services, tongues broken out during the preaching part are out of the order unless they are interpreted. The saints don't need a sign. I don't need a sign. What I want is edification, exhortation, or comfort. Give me a prophecy. How many say amen? Is that all right? On the gift of tongues, the Holy Ghost anoints and gives the word to speak forth by the believer. Acts 2:4 showed that. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Whenever the Holy Ghost wants to use the tongue to bring a message in the church, he anoints the speaker and tells him what to say. How many say amen? Then the companion gift, because interpretation cannot function without tongues. See how they're a team? If there's no tongue, there's nothing to interpret. How many say amen? So the interpreter is to give the interpretation of what was said in diverse tongues. More than one, at least two, and at the most three. How many say amen? The Holy Ghost puts the anointing on that activates the gift of tongues spirit and tells that spirit what to say in two or three different languages. How many say amen? Jesus also promised the believer would speak in tongues as a sign and proof of his resurrection, Matthew 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Every time you speak in tongues, like I said, you're saying he's risen. God wants to use this gift to the church. The Holy Ghost, like I said, anoints the gift spirit and tells the gift spirit what to speak in two or three languages. It's a sign to the unbeliever in the attendance, but it's no good to the rest of the church until it's interpreted. Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:5-13 said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may be edified. Greater what? Greater benefit to the church, not a greater person. Greater benefit, because the speaker in tongues only edifies himself, where the prophesier edifies the whole church and himself. Tongues is no purpose at all to the church without the interpretation. One interpreted, it's equal to prophecy. How many say amen? Regulation of the gift of tongues and prophecy. Now here's where we come into the most misunderstood part about gifts and prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:27, Paul here is regulates how a tongue message should come. Remember that God always witnesses his word in two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouths of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. How many say amen? Now let's pick it up and read what he has to say. 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, and notice the unknown is in italics. How many see the slant print? If you got a King James version. And the unknown means it's not in the original. All it says in the original Greek, if any man speak in a tongue, and here the translator is trying to interpret it, that it's unknown to the speaker. A language he doesn't know. It's a supernatural language. How many say amen? It doesn't mean it's not known somewhere in the universe. How many say amen? How many's out there? You follow me? Okay. If any man, and I want you to notice it's man, singular. Forget about interpretations now. Let's think of the gift of tongues operate, right? If any man speak in a tongue, he is commanded to be what? He is commanded to do what? Let it be by two or the most three. You don't bring a message to the church with one tongue. You bring it with two or three, so that in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Do you see that there? He said, if a person singular feels God moving on him to bring a tongue message, he's to speak that tongue message in two or three of the species of languages that God gave him. Huh? As a witness that God demands in two or three witnesses. You see it? How many sees it? If any man speak in a tongue, I'm going to leave unknown out, let it be by two or the most three, and that by course. And in your syllabus, I told you that the word that by course means anamaros. Anamaros. This is a prepositional phrase, and it means speak a part in a tongue or one tongue, and then a second part in a different tongue, and then a third part in another tongue. He's to speak in two or three tongues, one part in one language, one part in another language, one part in the third language. And when he sees it, if any man speak in a tongue, don't let him speak by one, but let him speak by two or the most three, and that by course, one after another.
Amen. What an insightful and timely teaching by God's servant, Brother Hardy, on the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God that he has endowed his church, the body of Christ, with these nine marvelous manifestations of his Holy Spirit to bring forth mighty works of healings, deliverance, and revelation to his people, and also as a witness to others that they might believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the early church in Acts went forth preaching and teaching the gospel, God worked with them, confirming his word through mighty signs and wonders. How much more do we today need the gifts of the Spirit in this age of counterfeit supernatural manifestations by the kingdom and prince of darkness? This teaching is vital to our understanding for every believer and answers the question unequivocally and scripturally, are the gifts of the Spirit for today? And who may operate in the gifts? How and when? You will understand the operation, the purpose, and the function of the gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, and discerning of spirits, and how these gifts often work in tandem with each other, as well as the power gifts of faith, healings, and working of miracles. And finally, you will understand the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues, and what the difference is between the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues given to the individual for his own personal edification, and the gift of diverse tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues that operate in the church assembly. This complete in-depth teaching on the gifts of the Spirit is available on a double CD set and can be yours for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Request offer 304. Our mailing address is R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Again, the offer number is 304 for the gifts of the Spirit, a double 2CD set for your love gift of $15 or more. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sharon Knott saying Maranatha.